Hey, Startup Hustle listeners, before we get into today's episode, I've got some exciting news to share. If you've enjoyed the insights and stories here at Startup Hustle, you're going to love what we have in store at our brand new podcast called Product Driven. I've always described myself as a product guy first, entrepreneur, software engineer, but really a product guy. I love building products. Many people struggle, though, with how to take a product idea and build a tech product, while software engineers struggle to understand the business side of things and they just don't see the big picture. My new podcast, Product Driven, is about that gap between business and the tech side of building software. It's designed for startup founders, tech leaders, software engineers, and anyone who loves tech and startups. Thank you for being part of this community. Enjoy this episode of Startup Hustle, and please subscribe to Product Driven in your podcast app, and you can also check it out on YouTube. Thank you so much.
And we're back for another episode of Startup Hustle, a podcast for entrepreneurs by entrepreneurs. If you want to start, own, or build a business, then you're in the right place. We bring you the real truth about what it's like to take something from concept to launch. From growth, innovation, experience, failing, or winning big, we've got you covered. So let's get down to business with another episode of Startup Hustle, brought to you by Fullscale.io.
What's up, hustlers? Welcome back. This is Andrew Morgans, founder of Marknology. Here is today's host of Startup Hustle. We're going to be getting into all things Amazon, e-com, startup. This is a podcast by founders for founders. And today's episode of Startup Hustle is brought to you by Fullscale.io. Hiring software developers is difficult. Fullscale can help you build a software team quickly and affordably and has the platform to help you manage that team. Visit fullscale.io to learn more. Today's guest and I are going to be talking about unleashing your mindset potential. And before we jump into some of what that means, because that is a broader title, but I think we're going to have some fun with it. Today's guest is formerly from the Ukraine, today operating in Portugal. I went last year and it was just an absolutely gorgeous country. So maybe we'll get to chat a little bit about that. But Anatoly Labinsky, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Andrew. I really appreciate for having me here and for give this chance to share and inspire the hustlers, the people like us out there who are looking for really to the, even not a piece of the golden nuggets, but about maybe mindset game, how to move forward, because this is definitely, I hope so, going to be valuable today for them.
I think so too. And specifically around that mindset piece, like, that's definitely been my secret weapon and my greatest obstacle to overcome as well in my journey. I've been an entrepreneur now full time for 9 years. And for me, the leap, there's been just so many different, levels to your mindset needs to grow. You've got enough mindset to get you here. You've got enough positivity to get you here. You've got enough perspective to get you here. And sometimes you need more. You need to level up. You need to grow. So it's going to be fun chatting that up with you today. Anatoly is the founder of a company called Golden Stream Media Growth. Did I get that right?
GSM Growth, yeah.
GSM Growth. Okay, rebranded to GSM Growth, a marketing company out of Europe that's been doing amazing work. For anyone that's not tuning in on the video, you can see behind him, he's got a bunch of plaques, seven-figure ClickFunnels awards, and he said he's got more than he can put on the wall. So has a lot of experience. Talk to me. Let's talk about like kind of where you got your start. Like, how did you know you were going to be in e-com, before e-com, entrepreneurship? Like, you know, did it start as a kid for me? My parents were missionaries, so I never really thought about business, but I always was trying to save my dollar, make a dollar, bunch of hustles. If I got $100 for doing something like, something for my grandpa over a couple months, like mowing the yards or something, then I would save it till the next year when I got the next 100 before I spent the first 100. I was always just like trying to pile my money and try things. When did you, first start hustling, or when did you first think you're going to be a businessman?
Awesome. Yeah, I will try to make it as short as possible because it's super long.
I mean, I like it.
Hours. But seriously, I never had such kind of understanding of this. What does it mean, this kind of mindset which you describe? I mean, which you describe you have that in the childhood. I had like leadership skills in the childhood, but I didn't understand that. Like I had a lot of friends and a lot of people, like organization process was always on me. I was trying to organize and organize all the people around me. I mean, this was like something which is now I understand it. I was like kind of taking the leadership position in the group of people who I was, being friends with. But so story begin like in general, I cannot say that I was super poor. I mean, my parents were really poor, but my father was the business owner who wasn't successful in business. He lost his health. He became a diabetic because of the stress at work. He lost all the business and like he's barely like now having a lot of problems with the heart. He lost his leg. So when I was looking on his journey, I was saying to myself, no way, I will never be in the business owner because it's awful. Now I understand it. Yeah, I was looking on the wrong example, but it's the best example. It's my father, you know, I was taking example from him. So, and plus, so we didn't have, and he was already divorced with my mom, and my mom was really barely survived working as a salesperson in the shop, a grocery shop in our town. And like, she was barely tried to feed us and at the same time like give us the best possible education in our city. In Ukraine it's completely different benchmarks in terms of pricing, but I mean for you it could be, for US people, for Australian people, Canadian, it could be quite funny, but average salary in Ukraine it's like $200 to $400, especially back then, you know, it's really small. And I never been abroad, I didn't know English, and I was really living in the place where I was always hearing, we don't have money, you have to stop thinking about something bigger because you're trying to live life of out of your budget. I hate those words. Yeah, I hate those words. My mom always was telling me that mom may buy Pepsi. No, we don't have money, you know, this kind of thing, because it's not most necessary thing. And so I was growing in that way. And in 13, I made a decision because I became a teenager. I really need, I want mobile phone. I want to go on date with my girlfriend or whatever. So obviously I was embarrassing that all my friends has at least some kind of pocket cash. And I never had anything enough just to survive. My father was trying to help, but he wasn't able to do that a lot. When I went to university, I finished the master's degree in finance. But I was paying by myself. My mom was helping. I took the loan on myself in 16 year old. I went with mom. Mom too took the loan, and I was helping her pay that. After 18, I became 18. I took loan on myself to continue education, and all of that things. You know, like I became in this kind of race where I have to. I am paying for the bills, and I don't have money to live. You know. So I start working since 13 years old in construction site, just a labor work, like bring some heavy breaks or whatever, like help to the builders build the buildings and like do whatever it is, because I was like a sport guy, like doing all the time gym, you know, and like a strong body. So I was using that body to like doing the physical work and making pennies. But I was happy that I'm able to make some pocket money, you know. So,
and let's stop there for a second, just for a second, like, because I think that's really relatable. Like, I, you know, arguably am a thought leader in the Amazon space. You know, I know that I have a smart brain, I guess, in that regard, you know, but the way I was just raised, like, money was not important. You know, we were missionaries, even in the US, we did not have money when we came back. And for me, it was like, just kind of watching my mom not get what she wants. It was less about me. I'm like a people pleaser. Just like, you know, I want to get that for my mother, you know, or, and it was, way before I knew I had a brain, I guess is what I'm getting at, is, I was a laborer. Like I know what hard work is. Like I, you know, through college, I worked 3 years, as a landscaper in Hawaii, and, it's hard work. And, you know, I've been a painter, I've worked in warehouses, I've done all the jobs, you know, like, and I was just a hard worker. And it can, so many people, I think, probably feel this way, where before I ever got a chance to like show my creativity or like, you know, my process or like how I can think and do different things, like I was just, my hands were busy. I was tired. Like, you know, working 2-3 jobs, you don't really have time to dream, like not really dream, you know, you're just like plugging away, working hard. And that's all I had, you know, I had never even seen a business owner. I know that sounds crazy, but not really. Like in the church, there was not a lot of business owners. There was more just like, you know, blue collar workers. And
exactly.
There was some people that owned a couple like construction companies, like they would do foundation, skilled labors, right? And a couple people I knew that had real estate, like they owned properties. What that meant, I didn't really know, but it was like, it wasn't a glorious thing, like glamorous, I mean, to like see, to have a skill business, you know? But I did want real estate. I was like, if I get real estate, I'll be great. Or like, that's what money looks like. And just for me, I think like there was no vision of like being a thought leader or being an entrepreneur or like doing things other people hadn't done. I wasn't that like kid dreaming. I was just that kid like trying to get a Pepsi, if that makes sense. Like I really was the kid just like, if my mom wants a shake, a $7 shake or something, I want to get her a shake, you know? It was, we should be able to get a shake kind of thing. And then my dad being like very thrifty because he knew our bills, he's, you know, surviving with a family of five, he would cross town to save 3 cents on gas. And I just never made sense to me, you know? Like these mindset, we talk about mindset potential, right? Is the point of this episode. And for me, it was like, it was not even like an inkling of a thought, you know? And so just relating to you, I didn't start working till I was 16. So 3 years later, but I was still in, at least how it works here, we had 2 more years of regular school, like before college. So
yeah,
2 years of high school I was working, and then I went into college and I was working myself and taking out loans to go to school. So I very much, you know, relate to that. Even here in the US, it's not the same as Ukraine, but for me, that path was very, very similar. So you're just working on job sites, picking up whatever you can, saving pocket money. Was the goal just to like, you know, pay the loans back to get through school, or what was the thinking?
Since 13 I started, it was for like being able to have some at least cash for even use for the bus, you know, just for the bus, if out of the school schedule, just to go somewhere. So like it was it's the thing where like kid has cash for like eat at school or like something what's necessary, it's what it has to be counted, and the mom give it to you. But that's like at that time I like understand I need to understand how to make money, because this is not the way how I can go. My parents cannot give it to me, and they telling me I have to live on the poor lifestyle, life mindset, lifestyle, and this was not for me. My mom was always repeating to me, Anatoly, you're trying to live on the wrong life, you cannot afford it. And I was hated those words. I was hated. Yeah. And like when I buy something for her more expensive than usually she could buy, she like, oh my God, why you done it? For me, it was like, come on, like I want to make it happen. You know,
I want to show you, mom.
Exactly. Like I actually, you know, I wasn't buying until maybe 18 that much to my mom. But what I was doing since 13, I was bringing part of my cash every single week to my mom on the table. I was putting like, mom, it's for you. She, no. I said, yes, it's for you. So I was leaving just like a bit for her and the rest for me, and was saving for mobile phones, for some like simple stuff. But this is, I was already hustling that moment, but I didn't understand that it's what means hustle. I was like, it's just surviving. It was the surviving mood, I would say. And I was on this surviving mood all my life. I used to work on the car wash, on the several constructions. I built the house from scratch, from ground zero. Me and my friend, we built the house in 3 weeks of our, it was a small house, but in 3 weeks of our, like not vacation or holidays in the university, I was 19. We built the house. Like me, him, and his father. His father is construction labor. So three of us, we were like rain all the time. We were just building the blocks like one by one. It was insane. And we done it like two of us. We just make the base house without obviously internals. But like we done it by our hands. Like I was making the front windows for the cars in the factory for 3 weeks just to be able to pay for university for the second year, for the first semester of second year. I used to work at night time on night shifts as in supermarket as a labor who was bringing heavy like boxes out to just fill up the shelves. I was being merchandise, salesperson selling the knives, knocking in the doors in the villages, like, hey, we have nice knives. I've been in such a different, crazy works in my past that like I cannot even count it. I may not maybe, most probably in all my life, I will remember some of them. By end of my life, oh my God, I was doing that. You know, there was too many of them.
Anatoly, my first job was a car wash. 2 years. Because in the U.S., when you're a junior, senior, the last 2 years of grade school, you can leave school early to go work. But I would stay all day, then go to work because I had just moved from Africa and I need to get a bunch of credits and in order to graduate on time and not be old for my grade. And I worked the night shift. The warehouse job was 3:30 in the morning till 9 a.m. in the morning. And then I would go to my day job at 10:30 and then I would go to school and then I would do it again. And another one was I worked as a security guard in a casino. And people don't understand like really what it means to be on your own surviving, like especially in this country. Like people have a lot of privilege. And it's always why I've related, I think, so much to my international counterparts, like, you know, people from other countries, because sometimes they just have more in common with me than a lot of people here. But I was a security guard in a casino working from midnight to 6 a.m. But if I could get two meals, I could get a dinner meal, like 11:30, come in, get a meal at the casino, and then get a meal in the morning. And before I left for my other job, and I was doing this kind of work to eat, you know what I mean? Like it was two meals a day. That was a great two meals a day. And when you're like trying to get by, that's a big deal. So I was even taking jobs just because there was a perk of maybe eating or something, you know? So I understand. I resonate with that a lot. And I hope I don't ever forget them. I need to write them down so that I can, you know, remember down the road, like kind of, you know, what we've built.
You know, you will be feel my story then. If I like, we're going to be speaking today about motivation more, and I will try to give as much details as I can about my journey to become who I am today, like the beginning, especially like 5 years during the before I became an entrepreneur in e-commerce. It was 2017, but my journey really started back in 2013. So like, and you will feel exactly like, because you have something similar from your story. So basically, all my life I was trying to do something and I was always broke all the time. Whatever I'm doing, I really have not enough because of this, all these loans and other. Plus I want to go with the girlfriend, I want to buy something, I want to get, I have to work more and more. And so I was working during university, I was working at nights somewhere in the supermarkets, and plus after I went to the master degree to the last year, I went completely on the evenings like lessons, completely decided to go out, and I got the job from after internship, I went to the bank. They invite me like, hey, because whatever, if I work somewhere, I show my best. Really show my best. Always. And that's giving me advantage from all the people who I'm staying next to. And I'm not saying that I'm the best, but I know that I'm doing my best and people are seeing that. So I got only me from all the people who were in internship. They were like, only me was invited in the bank to work, like, because I was showing like potential. So I went there as on 17 year old, like, come on, working in the bank, 17 year old boy, like it's something weird to speak to the guy, to people about financing, 17 year boy, you know, but I was dealing, treating myself as a, like 20 plus, I was speaking confident. So basically I used to work in the bank almost for 3 years, maybe 2.5. And I grow there. So from like simple, like over the, like loans for the electronics, I went to the overdraft credits for the business owners. And that was really awesome experience because the first time in my life, I found out what is cold calls means. I sit down in the office, they give me like thousands of the list of internal customers of the bank who I have to call to and offer them overdraft loans. It's like a 30 days short loans for to fill up the cash flow of the cash for the business owners. So my work was to find out the people who are going to be take that kind of loan, go on their business and analyze their business from inside, their financial position, where they are staying, if they are qualified, what kind of assets they have to put as a security, which is car, house, whatever, and make all the evaluation and understand what amount we can give it, send it to the top management, and they will approve or disapprove the loan for such kind of business owner. It was amazing experience for me because I found out what is the business from inside. Local businesses. So I was, wow, it was really interesting. But I became in 3 months being on this position, the number one salesperson in the region. I was like, wow, like it's insane. Well, I was like, because I was excited. People are always words, girls crying. Oh my God. They say no when they call in on the phone. And I was taking the no. I didn't know the rule of no. Taking no, it's experience. It's great. You took no, done. You move forward to the next one, and until you get yes, it's the rule. Like until you will find out the yes. Until if you're gonna be doing the really hard work good enough, you'll find out your yes. And I was looking exactly that way, but I didn't know the experience of that. You know, before I mean the sales tactics itself. And I was like hustling, like, hey, calling like everyone calling like, let's say 20 times, 40 times a day. I'm calling 70, 100 times a day. And I was like really doing 5x to compare to others. And I was hearing yes, like from the several no's, I start hearing yes. And I went to the businesses of those people and I'm young, like, you know, like how they would evaluate myself to like this person would be approve or disapprove my loan. You know, it was weird for me, but they were respectively speaking to me because I was really like fighting for the meeting with them. And they respect that. And like, even there was words like, just because you're always on me, let's meet. I want to see what you want to offer.
Yeah.
So it was cool. But I understand that I have a ceiling of the income. And whatever I would be doing, I'm dying in this work. I mean, since I'm working a lot, but I'm not able to make more and not even more, like enough, good enough. And I decided becoming love with sales in the private sector. There was like liquors, like alcohols products and bakery products for some kind of supermarkets, suppliers, like suppliers, the distributors company. And one of my friends was working there. He said, you're great in sales. Try here. Like, okay, let's do that. And I went to the cookies section where it was a lot of different cookies. And I became in the 3 months, maybe 4 months, the third person in the company, in the region, again, in our region, which we were responsible for. And I was like, wow, it's so easy. It's so cool. After bank, it was so easy. Can you imagine? I was selling like $30,000 loan. Or I'm selling $3 cookies.
Yeah, it's like easy.
Yeah. And plus, I know that there I need to make 5x calls. Here I need to visit 5x shops to compare to other people to be the best. It was really easy and cool. And I start making like $1,000 approximately a month for Ukraine. It's insane. I mean, it's really good, especially on 2021. Yeah, I was 2022 or something like that. So, and I was enjoying, but my dream was all my life is like, first of all, I understand that I'm starting to live a better life, quite paying all the things, but still, and it's not going that well as it should because of loans. Because I'm continue paying loans, I decided to buy a car, which is as well in loan. And that car was $300 car. I had to take credit card to pay because I didn't have those $300 in my pocket. And that car was disaster. It was embarrassing. And I'm proud to have that car before because I know from where I came from, you know, what I remember. And I give this example to my son all the time. Like, listen, this is my car. It was my first car. He's like, no way. I said, yeah, but mine was much more disaster than this. So I am giving to him this example that I wasn't able. Why you bought it such a bad car? I said, because I wasn't able to buy even this car. And I took the credit card money to buy it. Like, and it's great experience as well to remember that. So basically, my dream was always to see the world. I mean, I really want to see the world and understand how is that. I didn't know English. I never haven't speak to any people out of my country, even out of my city. Go to the sea, which is 200 kilometers away. It's like 150 miles away from me. It was a big deal. It was a huge journey, like, wow, once in a year to go there. For me right now, like 4,000 miles across the ocean, it's like, okay, like, what's next? It's normal. And but that time it was insane because it was mindset from parents, from my mom, like, this year we won't go to the sea because
limiting
it's expensive.
Mindset. You cannot do it too far.
Yeah, next year, it's sorry, this year we cannot. So it was like that. And it was like, at least mindset, at least once in a year to see the sea, it would be awesome. So basically, I found
correct
out.
Me
because,
if, correct me if I'm wrong, but you're living like 10 minutes from the ocean right now, yeah?
Right now, to walk maybe 12 minutes, by car, 3 minutes, even less. I love to run next to the ocean in the morning. It's wow. It's given such a lot of energy. It's like
people take it for granted. You know, I think a lot of people love the ocean, but like some of us, like I'm wearing a hat even that says landlocked because I live in Kansas City, like in a state that's surrounded by land. Something as simple as running on the beach, it can be life-giving, you know? So something that you maybe once a year is now could be part of your everyday. That's crazy.
Yeah. It's well important, you know, when I'm really running or even walking on the beach here, I like smiling because I understand how important that for me. And I'm trying to let understand my son, but he doesn't have anything to compare with. So I just try to bring him this education from my experience to let him understand that it's not normal. It's not normal. I mean, it is normal now, but it's not normal for most of the people. So that's why I want to give this kind of life education for him, that he should not be overpride where he is. He need to understand that. So this is as well for me, like kind of mission to share with him my past, to give him understanding of his future. So they need to fight all the time. So basically, I was with the girlfriend for many years and we broke up and I was 22, I guess, like it was back to 2013, spring. And I promised to myself, now I don't have relationships. It was 8 years relationship. Ooh. It was really low yet.
Yeah.
now I must leave the country. I must leave it. And like, what can I get? And I what is for the thing? I had such a big limitation in my head that it's not possible, that the world does not exist, that I wasn't believe that it's possible. But I just bring to myself the strong promise. I will make it happen. And I didn't know how, but I will. And here is my friend. He went to Dubai as a waiter a year before. And he said, listen, I'm now going to a new restaurant and they need more people and they're asking for friends. Would you like I will arrange interview for you? I said, please, yes. So he arranged an interview with the Italian restaurant Cipriani in Abu Dhabi next to the Formula One circle. It's an amazing place and it's like a super luxury place. And the guy, CEO of that company, just called me and I didn't understand anything. I cannot speak English. My friend was sitting next to me, next to web camera and trying to translate, but I was so stressed. I was like really idiot on the call because like I almost dancing in next to the camera just to show him that I'm cool, but I couldn't speak. So, and he loved my energy, like what I was trying. And he like, I will send you a contract. Like you get the job. And the job was, I'm the master's degree in finance, like good in sales. The job was cleaning the plates, dirty plates from the tables and bring to the washing area. I was so excited. It was like, it was one of the biggest excitements in my life. I wasn't care what I'm going to be doing, cleaning the floors. I wasn't really give a shit about that. So basically, I got the job. First 3 weeks, my friend was not there. Zero Russian speakers, there, Ukrainian speakers. Nobody's there. And like only Italians, Spains, Filipinos, and that's all. And all speaking English. So I had to learn English in those 3 weeks. In 3 weeks of my hustling, like no English, nothing, a pre-opening time, I was like this kind of food runner. And in 3 weeks before Formula One, we opened the first week. I showed such a huge improvement that they improved me to the, give me a
promotion.
Promotion, yeah, sorry, we miss the word. They give me promotion to the assistant waiter. I'm like, wow, my friend arrived to that moment, like, what the fuck? Like, how you become assistant waiter? I said, I don't know. I was just really working 12 to 17 hours a day. I was in the storage helping the guys. I was at the kitchen helping the guys. I was everywhere just helping pre-opening. And they were seeing this kind of like push, attitude, yeah, that like they said to one Serbian guy, listen, teach him English, please. And he was great as a teacher. And he was helping me a lot. I was writing down all the words, like sentences, and was trying to use with the clients. So assistant waiter is not speaking to the clients. He just like assisting to the waiter. So but I was trying to practice. So I start practicing more. What the thing is, before I left country, Ukraine, I found out the girlfriend. I met the girlfriend. I become in love. She's an amazing, like, she was one of, like, wow, when I met her. Like, I understand that I'm in trouble. I promised myself to leave, but I become in love with her. She with me. And when I have to go already, she said, please do not go. But I said, listen, it's what I needed, what's my mom needed, because we had low mortgage for our house as well, because we didn't have money for renovation of the house. We took the mortgage. Like, I mean, we just like making the refinance of our house to take the renovation. And so I need to help my mom to pay for the house. I promised her and all the stuff. So I have to leave. So I left in October, and I was sure that we will like break our relationship by December, because it's not normal. I'm 4,000 kilometers from her. I'm in Abu Dhabi. She's in Ukraine. But she was so strong in love with me that she was having a really great job in pharmaceutical sector in Ukraine, that she decided to, she got paid 13 bonus, like 13 salary as a bonus in New Year. And she said, I'm coming to you. I said, listen, I don't have money to get you here. You know, I'm sending all the money back to Ukraine. She said, no, I got the bonus. I'm going to be spend that money to come to you. I was like,
what?
But, you know, yeah. The girl like, is like...
Yeah, you're a little afraid, but just also like, she's crazy. Like, someone likes me that much?
Yeah, exactly. And like, when she came, I understand that this is the girl I have to ask her to marry with me. Like, I understand that this is the girl. I mean, if we're still together, and if we'll go through like next year on the distance, that will allow me to get married with her. I said, listen, I want you to be my wife. So after 1 year, like it was 2014, I came in September, we got married. And I left back to Abu Dhabi, and I was pushing myself forward. And I understood that, okay, here I won't be get any more any kind of financial advantages. And plus, not about financial. I was thinking about, I'm here not for this. Like, I start looking around. Etihad, Emirates, cabin crew, like, and other places, better restaurants from better income, better growth. Like, here I'm a waiter, assistant waiter. I want to be a waiter, head waiter, you know. So, and I understood that hospitality is just a part to improve my English, and then bam, I'm gonna be out. I want to find out some kind of sales sector.
Don't get stuck.
Exactly. My friends, I had during these years, since 2013 till 2017, we brought 9 friends from childhood there. So all broke, you know, all broke. Everyone was hungry, want to do something in life. And it was amazing. 9 people from childhood next to us, and all of them want to sit down and save money, because it's important. They never get such kind of money in their life, and they want to save. For me, I want to move, I want to change, I want to grow. And they don't do that. Don't be stupid, because there is a contract. If you don't stay in enough time, you're going to be paid fine. And every single time when I was changing job, I was paying fine and staying broke again and again and again and again. But for that moment, it was necessary. I got married. I promised to my wife that I will take her to Dubai. She resigned on her amazing job with the great payout on Ukraine. And she went to Dubai. When I moved to Dubai after our marriage, I found out a work as a head waiter in another place, a luxury place as well. And she brought her there. And I didn't have money for the apartments, because usually it was just given to me. Usually they were just given to me accommodation. But now
work there.
Sorry?
They would give you like a place to work, like a place to stay because you're working there.
Exactly. In Dubai, it's normal stuff. So, but if you bring in some like your relatives or wife or husband, you have to go out. And I didn't know, I didn't have money to go out. I didn't have really any savings, because always I was broke. And I just like borrow like a lot of thousands. Like it's 11,000 dirhams for me. It was unreal money. I took from the friend who always was saving from my childhood friend. So when I brought her, I already owe money to my friends. I have nothing. And again, I'm fighting. What I start doing, I just took, printed out like 100 CVs and went to the, like my work starting at 3 p.m. Everyone sleeping till 1 or 2 because we're working till 3 a.m., you know, and till 6 we are sitting, walking at home and going to sleep. And like they 1 a.m., 2 a.m., they woke up only, and I'm from 9 a.m. already awake and walking through the high scrappers and delivering CVs in commercial buildings everywhere.
So what were you delivering?
Resume, CV.
Resumes.
Resumes. Resume.
Okay, sorry. European term.
Yeah.
CV.
So resumes. CV. I was just giving that everywhere. It wasn't the smartest idea, but I was finding out the hustle work. I mean, what I can do else? What else? I found out people who are trying to make the import from Ukraine olive oil to Dubai. I found out people who make an import from chicken to Dubai as well. I became a salesperson for them. So a lot of hustle before that. And again, I didn't know that it's hustle. I was thinking it's survival mode. I was thinking that I have to do something if I want to survive, if I want to succeed. My dream was still be a manager in some big company and this big salary. This is where I'm going to be protected because of my father. And here it is, 2017, February. I left already hospitality and went to the construction sector because I took the driving license. I got the finally work with the car. It was like, wow, I will have a car. Like, they will give me a car because I took the driving license in Dubai. And like, it was shitty work, construction site, dirty, like your shoes always dirty. You have to go out and try to sell them some lighting stuff.
And you just went from like, even though it was a restaurant, like, so I was in a restaurant for 6 years. Mm-hmm. So I understand. And, but you went from like luxury dining to like dirty construction site.
Exactly. And speaking right. Completely to different people, completely. I mean, there is different mentality people on the construction, like laborers, but I've been in construction as well. So again, for me, it's very close. So, but when you're on a suit, like you clean and you go to these dusty places, it's completely different. And what's the thing? I got the job and I said to my wife, please believe on me. I have to take this risk because the job have payout 2 times less than luxury places where I used to work. So we okay. Will not able to pay even for the room. We were renting the small master bedroom room in Filipino family apartments. And like, if I would not have enough income, we have to take all her salary to pay for the apartments plus my salary. So we're going to be survive. I said to her, I'll find out the second job. I found out the job in the villas. I was as a supervisor waiter on the event agency where we were serving parties in the villas for some rich okay. People. So
like event, event, you were doing,
events.
Yeah. Event service. Like, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And I grew there as well from the waiter to supervisor later on. But the thing is that I got the second job. I promised to her we will be able to survive. Believe in me, I want to get out of hospitality. So I went out, not enough income. We are quite broke even more than before. It's a disaster. After 5 years in Dubai, 4 years in that moment, well, my friends are like, wow, you're out of hospitality, but they have watches, they have nice clothing because they're saving, they're living their life in accommodation, enjoying, not paying for the apartments, and I'm completely broke. And look, they're looking at me, admire me, that I'm like, wow, to compare to them. And I'm looking at them like, fuck, guys, you don't know what I'm going through, you know? I really barely to go to Abu Dhabi. I almost borrowed the money to buy the ticket for you. But I'm staying quiet and like, yeah, guys, like, I'm doing my best. But at the end, I was really broke financially and my mind was destroyed. But I was seeing how they admired and understand that I have to proud what I'm doing. So February 2017, I changed the work in September. And now we are like barely surviving. And my wife saying to me, babe, I'm pregnant. And this is the moment. So I like, wow, like I'm start like smiling. I start like saying it's amazing. I start almost crying and she start crying, not because of happiness. She look around on the room, on this small room. And like where we live and how we live, and she understand all the situation. And she had a bright life before. She was wealthy girl in my town. And here you go, you know, she came to the guy and to like, anyway, I was feeling always embarrassed because of that. So basically I said, no worries. Like we will manage. Let me go to buy one more test to double check. Maybe it's wrong, but I want you to be pregnant, but let's double check. So I went to the pharmacy. It was plus 35 degrees, sunny day in Dubai. I went to the parking outside and pharmacy next to me, and I just stuck, and my knees just shaking like that. Like I'm staying like shaking, and like this kind of skin, everything is like, it's going crazy. All the body, I cannot move. And I stay in and I'm analyzing all the situation. I almost crying, almost screaming, because it's disaster. It's scared, because if my wife will deliver baby in Dubai, she need to leave the job if she will not have insurance, and deliver the baby without insurance is 25,000 dirhams. It's like $7,000. I never had this money in my hands before, you know. I like, what the fuck? Like, what I'm gonna be doing? And like, I just stay like, I will not allow to my baby come to this world and being in financial situation like I am now. I will make the difference.
Was it an anxiety attack, you think? Like, or just overwhelm? Anxiety attack is where you're just like thinking about the future and your body just kind of shuts down. Like,
yeah, yeah.
You can't move. You're like, maybe you need to like sit down in a corner, you know, like
I was just on between the universe, you know. I wasn't even on the earth. I was like, I was so scared and I couldn't feel my body. And at the end, I just like made a brief and I said to myself, really, it was the clearest sentence which I have made to myself. One of them before it was, I will move whatever it takes from Ukraine somewhere, and I done it. And the same here, I was feeling, this had the same feeling, but more with more like inspiration that I will make it happen. I will make the difference. And I went, bought the test, I bring back, I said, my babe, I will manage, we'll find out the way. So next 5 months, well, we were like trying to understand how we will deliver baby. And we made the decision to say that she's supposed to go back to Ukraine and deliver baby there, which is she become mad on me. And she understand it's logically fine, but mentally it was disaster. I mean, leave her pregnant alone with parents. She like, I'm feeling embarrassed to go to my parents' house in 25. Like, what the fuck? I said, recently, we'll go through it. Believe me. Trust me. I will find out the way. And I started getting second job in nightclubs. It was nightclubs as a waiter, plus this kind of villas. Now it's not only Friday, Saturday. Now it's Friday, Saturday, Wednesday. So I start getting more evening works. So I'm working in here. And when my wife was leaving, I got introduced to the work in the gas company. I'm like, yes, baby, I will make money in gas company. It was like a dream work. It sounds like gas company in Dubai. I will make shit a lot of money, become a great manager, and you will come. At the end, I she trust me. I went to this company. I left the lighting company. I went to the gas company. And I understand that there is nothing that bright as they promised, you know, like, again, I hustled, I made that one of the best sales, like I was third one in the company in terms of sales by end of the year, because they promised commission. They said, sign the low salary and we will give you commission at the end of the year. I'm like, yeah,
I know about that.
Yeah, I mean, because I understand that I understand how it works. So, and I signed the salary less than even I had. So now my wife has to go to Ukraine. And I have to move to the apartments, two-bedroom apartments with seven people. I was renting the bed space. So I said to my wife, I'm going to be renting bed space, saving money, trying to find out the hustle, some hustle work, and we'll come back to you in Ukraine, or we'll bring you here when I will be able. So it was really where, like, she left in June, I believe, June, yes, 2017. And I start searching it online, what I can make, what else is there. Friends of the friends, like hospitality stuff, like a lot of hospitality. I became an actor. I've been an actor in Dubai, Bollywood movies, in the commercials, because I'm like a white skinny guy, like European looking for Dubai. It's really important. So I start acting in it. It's so funny. Like a couple of really roles I had in movies, in the commercial of the NBD Bank, I guess, or Islamic Bank. I don't remember exactly. So like, it was cool. It was so fun. And it was the biggest income ever, which I could even imagine. 4 hours, $400. It was, what's going on? 40 minutes, $400. It was the biggest equal income ever for me. But it was rare, but still I was doing that. And I got a lot of this kind of hustling, hospitality stuff. So in July 2017, I started reading books about business. And here you go. I read Poor Dad, Rich Dad, and I understand that I have to be a business owner and then investor. I have to, like, my father was doing everything wrong. it's nothing bad to be an entrepreneur. It just was wrong example. And for me, it was like, boom, like all shit. It was like, fuck the gas company. I'm done. I'm going to be hustling. I need the money. I'm going to be working. But now I have to think, what's the hustle out there for I want to be entrepreneur. I couldn't even pronounce that word. I remember
me neither. It was,
yeah, I wasn't able to say
spell it. I couldn't see it. Yeah, I never even heard it said. And I have to jump in here because any of my listeners that have tuned in and have listened to this, I took a job with lower salary because they promised me bonuses and to train me as an e-commerce manager. I didn't get the bonus. I didn't get the training. I had
a lot of similarity in the past.
Insecurities to get over in my own head. So someone submitted me to do a modeling shoot, and I have I'm a ginger and a bunch of things, I was like,
that's cool.
F it. Okay, let's go. She submitted me. I show up. I made $4,600 for two photos with Hershey's, nice. The candy bar. And I did one other one, which was like an acting one for Twitter, the social media company Twitter, and didn't know anything that I was doing. They even told me, your smile is fucked up. And I'm like, okay. But disaster, I had the look that they wanted, and it was like good money. I never had money like that. So just some funny things about, promising you the bonus, promising you this. I told you I didn't know what an entrepreneur was when we started the show. I was like, I didn't even know what that was. And I was not reading. This was for me. So I'm 9 years in. It's 23. This was like 2014. Okay, no. So not that far off, right? And I read a blog that said, don't go get a night job or a second job that you're comfortable doing, like serving. For me, it was always like, okay, I was going through a breakup. And my promise to myself was, she had a kid when we met, okay? And so when she left, it was like 5 years, I was like, if I have a kid and a family again, I'm going to like change everything, I'm going to change everything. I'm going to build something that can be a legacy, I want to be able to take care of my family. And I'd always thought this, like, even before I could take care of myself, it was like, I'm going to take care of my family. And the blog said, double down on what you're doing already, which I was doing e-com. I had just started in e-commerce. Mm-hmm. And double down, find ways to make more money doing what you're doing already that can add to your skills than just going and trading your time at a bar or something you're comfortable with. And for me, that's when I started reading Gary Vee, Jab, Jab, Right Hook, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And for me, it was like, my dad had always been a church builder, like community builder, like hustled to support us there. But like none of them really worked out, mainly because he trusted people too much. That's mainly it. It wasn't that he wasn't that smart or whatever. He just trusted the wrong people. But for me, it was like, like it was clarity, And then whenever I started doing what it told me to do, which was freelance on Upwork.com, I started getting jobs on Upwork.com, and then the rest is history. People know my story, but that's 5, 6 things, 8, 10 things, I think, Anatoly, that we have in common, kind of, a little bit different evolution, I'm American, so I'm blessed in a lot of ways, but same evolution of like the mindset, right? The mindset just being this next thing, being like, where did I learn that next thing that really just... it was all about the focus. Like, what is the goal? The goal was to be the best server I've ever been. The goal is to be the best warehouse worker I could ever be. The goal was to be the best e-commerce manager I could ever be. And when it was just e-commerce, like a business manager at a good company, like you said, right? For me, that was like, okay, I'm going to be the best e-commerce manager in the world. What do they make? Oh, it wasn't great at the time. It wasn't great at the time for me. And trying to build the best agency in the Amazon space. Like it's always been, I set my ceiling too low for myself. And then it comes to a point where you're just like, okay, what's the new mindset that I need to keep going to the next level to push myself? Because I've always known I had potential. like for whatever reason, I grew up different ways, like whatever in my own mind, I was like, I have the potential, like I can do it. You know what I mean? Like chip on my shoulder, kind of like I'm small, I'm skinny, I'm not getting picked on the team, I'm not this, I'm not that, but like no one can outwork me. No one could outwork me. If I was anywhere like you, a matter of time before I'm getting that promotion or I'm getting the opportunity. And I knew that about myself. Like if you just get me in the door, you know, I'm gonna take over. Like right now I've got 8 Airbnbs. Not that long ago, maybe like 6 years ago, I had one in a basement of a shitty apartment that I just like rented out, and I was doing shit like this, running home, cleaning the toilets, because I had a goal. Like no one can work harder than me. If I have to clean toilets, I don't care. I'm going to get the job done, you know? So I took a few minutes, but just to relate to that, like, you know, we're on opposite sides of the world, with opposite families, different languages. And it's crazy to me how much similarity you can have with someone that you've never met. And you're seeing war in Ukraine, you're seeing like things on the TV, right? You're seeing things in the news and you're like, wow, that's so far away, or that's so just different than my upbringing, you know, being able to buy a Pepsi. Very few kids here cannot buy a Pepsi if they want one, you know? And then really like you're hearing this story over the last 50 minutes and I'm just like, wow, like this is so very close to my own journey, you know? And I actually have a friend in Dubai. His name is Mina. We're very close friends. He's Egyptian, but moved to Dubai to start his business, and has a story similar to ours as far as like coming from the bottom. And just it just blows my mind a little bit. I get very inspired listening to these things. So bringing it back home, you learn how to pronounce the word entrepreneur, right? Entrepreneur, I don't know. And you're reading Rich Dad Poor Dad and it clicks. You're like, I need to be the owner of a business, build a business.
Yeah. This is insane. I believe first thing first, like we have similar paths, and it shows who you are. I mean, because this means you're gonna be successful. Whatever you go through, you know that you will beat that shit and you're going to be on the next level tomorrow, because this is the mindset which you have, and that's why we have this similar path. Everyone has their own story, but the similar ways of building it, because like if you self-made, I would say. So basically that moment I remember, like I was so excited. Oh my God, what can I do? I was like, I couldn't understand online. Like, because online it's scam. That moment I'm Ukrainian, anything online it's scam for Ukrainians. And my wife obviously even more. And like I started to Google it. What else? So August, mid of August, I believe 15 or something like that of August. I already lose that date from my mind, unfortunately. But it was Friday. It was August Friday. It's like weekend, Friday, Saturday on the in Dubai before, now it's snow. But I was wake up in the morning before going to the part times. I found out in Facebook sponsored ad. I didn't know what this means, sponsored. I know it's some big companies. This is how I was imagining. Huge Coca-Cola making some sponsor together with Mark Zuckerberg. It's super important, super hard. This is like, I wasn't understanding anything. And sponsored that like, well, start from zero, Fred Lam. Like, what is that? I click on it and there was nice animation movie about the boy who started as a food runner, you know? He started as a food runner, blah, blah, blah. Like, oh my God, I have to read it. I mean, it's so similar to me. So it was great magnet, obviously, but I didn't know that it's a lead magnet. So I just like go through the press, I download the book, they got my email, obviously. So, I started reading the book. It's 180 pages book. And I read it like in a couple hours, like nonstop. I was like, no way, no fucking way. Oh my God. I was on the phone like that, like scrolling. No, it cannot be so easy. It cannot be. It sounds too good to be true. You know, I was like, it was like a aha moment. I was like, I want to do that till end of my life. I don't know how, but I want to figure it out. And be the 1% of those kind of people who didn't quit and win. So I decided to go in. 29th of September, after 1.5 months, I'm opening my first Shopify store. Like, it was hard decision to buy the domain, to name the store. All the newbies think about hard, simple stuff, making super hard, you know, like what niche it would be. I asked wrong people about the niche, like people are waiters. Why I'm asking them about the niche in e-commerce, you know, it's taking advantage from the wrong people. So we just decided that cats, it's the most famous trend in internet, in YouTube. So cats niche is definitely supposed to work. So I became owner of the My Kitty Cat Zone store, mykittycatzone.com. I was so proud of that. And like I created, and so 29th September, like I already saved some money and I start investing into the ads. I said to my wife, babe, it's going to be something amazing happening soon. What are you speaking about? No worries. Don't do any crazy things. I'm like on 9 months pregnancy. Don't spend money. I said, yeah. I start just investing on ads, everything what I have. I mean, I didn't know how to do that. I was watching thousands of the YouTube channels. And that moment, there was no actually thousands of YouTube channels. There was several videos, but now people are opening more subjects in YouTube. Before, they giving just small pieces of advices before, back in 2017. And I was taking this piece here, piece there, and made the mess. And made the mess because nobody said that you have to let ads optimize. I just like made the changes in 2 hours, nothing happened. I made the changes again in 2 hours, nothing again, changes again. So obviously money are spending, ads are not optimizing, like the no results, nothing happening. I like spending hundreds, thousands, like what's happening? It's $1,000. Like, and I have in savings around 6K, something like, no, I didn't have 6K yet. I had maybe 3.5, something like that. But I was working on the part times, keep trying to save and send it something to my wife. And I start losing all the money which I have, and I start finding that this kind of acting work more and more and more and more. So 1 year, when I've been last year in Dubai alone, I was working on 5 different jobs. One, it's day job, and 5 in the different days of the weeks, different events agency, 2 different events agency, nightclubs, waiter, actor. Was something else, I don't want to lie. There was one more restaurant. Yeah, it was one more restaurant. So restaurant, nightclub, acting, 2 different events, and my. So six different.
And e-com.
E-com, it was just a hustle. And the thing is, I didn't have any single day off from that moment when I dive in e-commerce. I was learning between I'm going to sleep and wake up. It was like 1 a.m. I'm coming from part-time. I'm destroyed. I'm exhausted. But I have such a huge excitement that next 2 hours on the laptop, watching the videos, trying to build my first store and so on, and sleeping 3-4 hours a day. Sometimes, I don't want to lie, it was really exactly two nights where I was sleeping 40 minutes. And after that, I woke up and go to the office job. It was a disaster. I do not recommend to anyone. It's 3-4 hours. It's not good. But 40 minutes, it's like I remember when I was destroyed in half year or something like that, I was really like saying to my managers, like, I'm going to the meeting with someone and I'm leaving 1 hour before to sleep in the car, wake up from the like 20 minutes, 30 minutes to sleep, wake up and drive to the meeting, or come to the meeting in the parking, sleep, wake up, just like refresh myself and go meet the guys. This is how I was living my life without my wife. And like, and to save the money on ads, this is what I was telling you, it will be super close to you. When I was going to my gas company, 7:30, we starting the work, 7 a.m. down to the office, it was the grocery shop, small Indian grocery shop for cheap products. And like, there was cookies, small cookies, sweet one with kind of like jam inside, like this kind of 2 cookies together. It's so sweet. There is just sugar. There is nothing else. It's sugar. It's not healthy. It's really bad. But this kind of thing, if I eat whole pack, it will be enough up to 1-2 p.m. not eat any food because I will feel vomiting. It's too sweet, too bad. But it's enough to break this kind of hunger, you know, in the morning. So, and to save the money, it's cost only 1 dirham, which is 33 cents, you know. I was like, but fuck the shit. I have coffee in the office and I have the sweets. So I take this coffee with the milk, the sweets, drinking, eating. And like my people in the office, like, what? Why are you eating that in the morning? You have to eat normal food. I said, I'm fine. But I was spending on ads. I tried to not spend on food. Food is not important. It was like, food is not important. Sleep is not important. Nothing is important. Important is ads to make it work. So basically November, I lost thousands of dollars. I start really becoming scared, but have no even single thought about quitting. I move forward. My wife like, where is the money? What's happening? And I was like already on the delivery of my baby. I said to her, everything is fine, baby, no worries. And she doesn't know, I came to her, I borrowed the money from the friends because I already invest a lot of in the ads. I have some savings, but those savings are already in the card to make sure this period of time of traveling, ads will be paid off. So I borrow money from friends. She doesn't know. I give it her $300. I said, leave. Listen, this is not a lot, but I just want to give it to you. And she didn't know that it's not mine. And plus I borrow around 1,000 or something. So 300 to her, 300 tickets and 400 tickets and so on. And plus I found out the guy in UK who said, I will run ads for you and make it millions for you. I'm like, oh, wow, I found out the way, you know, yeah. $300 a month. Let's do it. I'm like, whoa, it's awesome. So I obviously from this borrowing money, I remember my wife has delivered the baby and instead of being in the hospital, I ran like crazy in Ukraine to the bank to send those money to that guy. Like, please make it whatever you can. I'm now busy with the baby. Here is the access to ad account. Do whatever needed. He scammed me. I mean, obviously. So I was so destroyed. I remember I'm looking on my son, on her, like I'm in deep, deep, deep down. I'm like, this situation, it's even worse than ever before. But like, I'm calm. Fine, I will manage, I will find out. So my baby is here, is the most inspiring thing ever. I'm here, now I lived back to Dubai to hustle. So going back, the part-times, all the things, and nothing is working. And 27th of November, one of my old friends from hospitality saying to me, crypto stuff, this is awesome. Mining, you just invest money in the company and they will make you one person every single day. I'm like, it makes sense. It's nice. I trust you. Let's do it. And he's just affiliate guy. He doesn't give a, like, he's really, no, and his attitude is bad. I didn't know at that time that there is a good attitude people and bad attitude people in terms of online business. And I promised him because we used to work together, you know, and I took the credit card. I never had credit card in Dubai in my life. So I go and open $3,000 credit cards based on my salary's history. And I use those $3,000 and put into the crypto, all of them, and invested where he said. I'm not saying the crypto is bad. The bad is using the money for mining, which you don't know what is that. So, and I met already one friend from UK. We were online. We met each other online. Now we are best friends with him because he was beginning of his business in UK. I was beginning of my business. Two of us, we invest in the same company, crypto mining. And we had a lot of similar things in our life. And February, end of January, like I still didn't make any results. I'm destroyed. My wife saying to me, start saying, I will divorce you if you won't stop. My eyes are black. My skin is green, like my yellow. My friend who is neighbor, he said, man, you're sick. Please, like, take a sleep. Stop doing what you're doing. You really looks bad. I was several times almost crashing the car because after the event, I fell asleep during the driving. This is how exhausted I was. Few times I was almost really crashed next to my building. So I was really disaster. Looks disaster, but I was keep going. And end of January, when I have almost no chances what's going to be happen next, my friend is saying to me, middle of January, my friend is calling me from UK. Hey, Anatoly, have you heard the news? I said, what kind of news? And I'm staying 14 level office, nice gas company office, in the meeting room, in the suit, like I'm looks cool. And I'm staying there and he's saying to me, the mining company scam us. We don't have money anymore. They shut down the website and everything. And that moment, my legs just, you know, like knees just went on the different sides and I almost fell down. I was like destroyed. Like how, like, oh my God, I have no money for ads anymore. I borrow money from my friends. I'm working everywhere. I have not enough income even with making, like really, I done start making $3,000 a month. For me, it was huge, but I was investing everything. And now I have loan $3,000 of credit card. I cannot go back to Ukraine because I'm embarrassed. in front of parents of my wife, in front of my wife, in front of my son. And in the most important, I was thinking how embarrassed I'm in front of my friends. If I will leave and I will say that I'm broke after 5 years in Dubai, all of them saved money, all of them feeling cool, like traveling around the world, start traveling, and I'm broke. And I said to my wife, no, I won't come back until I will get results. So that moment, my friend is telling me I'm destroyed and like, done, I'm ended. I mean, I understand that it's the end of the game, but I'm staying looking, you know, like to nowhere. I remember this window, 14th floor. I'm looking on Dubai city and I'm like looking to nowhere. And like, if I will be start crying right now and fell down on the bed and will be like lay down and crying, my life won't be changed. I will be in this position, and plus I will need to pay out to all the mistakes which I made. That's not the way to quit. Quit is not solution. But how I won't quit if there is no other solution? I mean, I have to quit. There is no way to succeed. And this is, I believe, every single successful person have in their life. Like, or you have to stop and quit, or you have to like don't give a fuck about what is happening and move forward. And yes, I said sir. To myself, I need to take a rest. So I took I came home, put my phone on the table and left apartments for evening. I didn't get the work. I like no part times, nothing. I was just walking till 9:30 p.m. from 6 to 9:30. I was just walking in the city, in my block. Walking without the phone. I was just walking. Not even no thoughts. I was just walking. I came back and went to sleep. Nothing. No studying, no store management ads, nothing. I just went to sleep. I woke up and said to myself, let's go. We'll manage. How? I don't know. And nothing happened in the next few days. I'm not saying that over the night something changed. But in approximately 1 week, one of my friends in Dubai, who was as well beginner of e-commerce, we met each other on one event. He said to me, have you seen Mark Harger? He like dropped down his pricing for the mentorship. I said, no, he's expensive. $97 a month group coaching for Facebook ads. It was expensive for me. I was having this kind of limitation in my brain. And plus, I lost already money with another guy, crypto. And $97, it's like 350 dirhams. It's expensive for me. I cannot spend a month such kind of big amount. And he said, no. Like, he reduced to $47. It's like 150 dirhams. I'm like, $47, 150 dirhams. I cannot afford it. But I can give a shot. Like, I can lose those money. I mean, it's not too big amount for me to lose it. I'm like, I'm going to be taking it. He said, me too. And this has helped me out that he made the decision. And I understand that I cannot be behind. I want to do the same. So this has helped me out to make a decision. We paid $47 for group coaching. It was 29th of January, beginning of February, first
call. What year was it?
2018. It's 2018. So first call, he what the thing, he's getting access to your red account and going through the call, not showing up the product to anyone because it's dropshipping, do not show the product. But he already know the product in advance, and he going through that account and telling in front of everyone what's the mistakes and what steps need to be done to get the results. And I'm like, no way. Like, I have to arrange the columns in my ad account? Seriously, in 6 months in e-commerce, I didn't know that I have to arrange the columns for to track the KPIs, add to cart, checkout, purchase. I didn't know that. So I like, you have to give optimize, so on, so on. This is what you have to do. If you'll get sales, you'll do this, this, and that. 15 days in the training, $8,000 in profitable sales. I was like, I was looking on the screen. I remember I'm a waiter staying in some kind of villa, all the people serving other people, and I'm just taking my phone, and every few seconds, where is the sale? No sale, no sale, oh, sale again. And I'm smiling. I'm the happiest guy ever. Like, I'm staying and just updating this dashboard again and again in the event. I cannot use my phone in the event, but I don't care because I want to see more. Obviously, there's a couple of sales a day, but still, like, I was so excited. And I said to my wife, sent to my wife, and I made 3,000 a week or something like that. And I sent to her, like, look, this is what I was saying. She said, what is that? I said, it's like results. She like, how much you gonna bring home? I said, no, I won't bring home. Like, it just like, this is the thing. I have to reinvest, grow a business. I already start this kind of mindset about, start learning mindset about reinvesting. Before, I would never reinvest in anything. So I have to reinvest. I have to like move forward. She said, what are you doing? Like, she started becoming crazy. And she said, I will divorce on you. Stop it. Stop it. I said, come on, here is the results. Like, she said, you won't bring anything home. Like, why are you saying to me something, showing to me something, which is will ask you to give you more money? It's a scam. They want to take more money from you. She doesn't understand what it's all about. So, and I like, okay, done. I'm doing that for you. Stop it. And just close the call. And my first $8,000 profitable sales in 15 days. I'm excited. After that, I failed because Facebook was updating. Mark was explaining exactly what exactly was wrong. That it was fine, but I didn't have enough money. So I built another store and so on, so on, so on. So I started generating here and there some income, plus part-time, plus so on. June, I start already like seven days, 1,000, something like that. So it was just swimming between, you know, surviving in e-commerce. But it was already, I know that results are there. And you're I was sharing it. Exactly. And I was sharing all this, my fails, unsleepless nights, five works, six works and all this stuff. I was sharing in Facebook that moment. I was sharing my story and people were engaging a lot. And I wasn't selling anything. I was just sharing. And when I started getting first results, people started reaching out to me. Hey, man, how you can do that for me? I said, come on, like, well, how I can do that for you? I cannot do that for me. And then October, September, I'm coming back to Ukraine. Because I understand now I can make, I got already in Dubai a couple of people for local lead gen, gym, like beauty salon, a restaurant.
Start running ads for them.
Yeah, yeah. So I start hustling to, if I, my wife said to you, have to go home, man. If you won't go home, I will not show your baby anymore to you on the camera. So she start really beating me. And she has rights. Because I was over promising and she used to be in Dubai. She was crying every single night because we were always broke. I know her feelings. I know how painful for her it is that I'm losing all the savings again and again. I'm sick. So, but I said, I'm coming back. I brought them to Dubai. I don't want to go to whole story because it's another. I brought them in April to Dubai. I lost everything what I saved. That's why it was so bad. The gas company promised to me to pay for apartments, tickets, and so on. Just bring them and show us the ticket, the recipients. So I just rent the apartment, borrowed the money, run e-commerce business, borrowed the money for the tickets, brought them here. And I came to my boss and to the GM of the company. He said, who said to you? No. I'm like, no, we won't be. Maybe in the future, like 20,000 dirhams. Like, how come? I like, oh, sorry, man. Like, no, like we will discuss maybe. I said, no, you said to me, bring the baby, your wife here. So they stay 1 month and they're supposed to leave because we have no money to survive. I remember I was like sitting in the car, crying, screaming before going to the event to serve the event. I was like dead on the wheel, like screaming, crying. My wife asking, did you ask your boss? Did you ask your boss when his money is coming? She was in our apartments that moment. And I understand that I have to give her bad news that she have to go back. It was disaster. So I brought her back to Ukraine and she said, you have to come back to Ukraine. Done. I'm done. And that was the reason why I decided summer, I'm going back to Ukraine. So September, I'm already in Ukraine and I met on the trainings before. And now I'm not in trainings with Mark Hager anymore because I cannot pay to him enough. And he didn't have already that kind of mentorship program anymore in his side. He was working one-on-one, which is more expensive for me. And I wasn't taking that yet. And in September, I just met one of the ex-students from Mark who was having $300,000 store in the results for the year. And it's failed because agency was running ads for him. They quit on him and he's staying no skills in Facebook, but no skills in management of Shopify store. I said, let me see it. I saw it and I've been already in Justin Wall program that moment. And I said, listen, like, let me do a couple of things for you. If it's work out, let's be a partners. He said, okay, $50,000 in October, $150,000 in November, over that amount in December, March 2019, $250,000. A lot of fails on the middle of that. I don't want to speak. I mean, we can speak about, but it will take another hours. But I mean, fails, but profitability and growth. So March 2019, 250, and we went so on. And in the same time, I start mentoring people because I know what's working. People asking me more and more because of me posting and sharing the results. They know how hard my past was. And I become a mentor for a couple of years, and I become a bit exhausted with mentorship. And I came back to Mark and still working with Mark as a mentor, not about the ads, but about the business, about the mindset, about the lifestyle. Now he's in real estate. I'm moving to real estate as well. So he was teaching me all the understanding about the business and life in general. Thanks him a lot. And he said to me, you have to quit on the mentorship and open your agency. I'm like, yeah. He said, yes, you have to. It was COVID 2020. I opened the agency from one employer to 12 employers in a matter of 3.5 months. Biggest growth in a really short time. It was amazing. By end of the year, we finished end of the year, it was 12 employers. Next year, it was 19 employers. And next year, 44 employers. This year, we started with 31 employer. But now we start again hiring. It depends. I mean,
say employee, do you mean employee or clients?
No, employee, like the team members. Team members.
Okay.
Yeah, clients are clients, but team members. We grow the company because we will start having more and more clients, better results. We need to, I want to build my brand, all the personal brand, all that things. And we build a huge team on remote. So that's a long story short. I was trying to be as short as possible to where I am right now. But there was happened February 2022, where I was having the dream life in Ukraine, in Kyiv. I was enjoying. It's quite cheap. It's an amazing lifestyle. We just bought an amazing huge apartments in the next to the main park. It's amazing apartments. We just bought it. And February 24th. I got the call from my father, from my sister-in-law. Oh my God, war has started at 6 a.m. And that was the day when all the success which I was building for myself, for wealthy life in Ukraine, I mean, better school for the kid, investments. I was about to invest in the second apartment. I was really a few days before that, negotiate one price for the construction site building. I was about to invest 60,000 there. And my wife was in Spain before the war and during the war, and I was with my son alone. And I said, listen, when you come back, we have apartments which we need to negotiate. It's awesome deal. Thanks God we haven't done that. So I lost my apartment, me and my son woke up with this disaster news. I mean, it's a completely separate story. If someone wants to watch it, it's almost 2 hours podcast calling, if you don't mind to say, Uncut for Media. It's my great friends from Atlanta, Georgia. I've been in their studio and share whole story about the war and how I get out of the cross the board during the war when everything started, only because of my entrepreneurial skills and my business skills. If I want
to be who I am. I look forward to listening to that.
It's insane story, not because, for me, it's okay story. I mean, not okay. I know that it's insane, but I always undervalue who I am and what I'm doing. But the thing is, when I went next time in August to a mastermind, a powerhouse mastermind, people who was listening to that, they said, oh my God, Anatoly, it's you. This is your story. I said, yeah. Oh my God, man. I even sent it to my father. It's insane. It's so inspiring because I done such an incredible journey to save my son and cross the border. When I was next to my friends and my friend with pregnant wife, with small kid, just quit and went back to the freaking war. He quit because they didn't allow him to cross the border. And I was fighting. It was really definitely hardest moment in my life, but my son took a great lesson from it, a great example. He grew up in those 4 days of being on that position. He grew up a lot, and now we have this kind of incredible story to share to each other from his opinion, from my opinion, how that was. And that's really inspirational story, and I will tell you, really, if someone wants to be inspired even more, listen it. It's a long one, but
worth
yeah,
it.
worth it. I done it, and I'm proud that I was able to make it. So no, yeah,
it's beautiful. It's beautiful, and I look forward to listening to it. I went through a coup d'état and a civil war with my dad in Congo, Africa, in 1999 to 2001. I'm sure it's not exactly the same story, you know, different times and different things, but the president was killed and, you know, there was a lot of, it was chaos, absolutely chaos there in Congo, DRC. And, you know, that's been something that my family is very tight. We're a very tight unit. And a lot of that comes from just the stuff we went through together, you know, as a team and from different perspectives. I was 15 and my dad was, you know, 42 or something. So, you know, just different perspectives on everything. But, and we talk about it a lot now. He's in his 60s and I'm in my 30s, you know, processing things and talking about them and what they were like and how they affected us. And I really look back at my time in Africa, even though it was tumultuous, as being like us entrepreneurial superpowers. Like I have the ability of perspective and gratitude and the ability to problem solve and overcome almost anything, because at that time it was just survival. It was fight or flight. It was like, you do what you do. I'm a fighter. I'm not a runner. And I don't play dead. So, you know, I fight till I get the victory, you know, you know, it was, to me, fight till you get the victory was sometimes 110 hours a week, on Amazon, like trying to fix problems, trying to just figure out what was going on. I would undersell a project. Well, I gave him my word. I would do it for 400. So I'm going to do it for 400 if it costs me, you know, sleep. So I look forward to hearing that. And this episode is a bit longer than our normal episodes here on Startup Hustle. But, I think, including the title just being, you know, unleashing your mindset potential, it really does come down to the belief in almost like obsession, in that, like, you know, I'm not sure that I can do everything because I haven't done everything. What I do know is that if you knock me down, unless you kill me, I'm getting back up.
Exactly. You know?
So you better kill me, or else I'm going to get back up. Even if I knock myself down, that's, it's not that I know that I can do the thing. It's that I know that I won't quit. And that, if I mess up, the only one that's really beating me up is myself, you know. And I have a story I won't take the time to share, but it was 2019. I took a solo trip to New York because I was very stressed with finances and just, I'd achieved some goals, but also like, why was I dealing with these problems? They weren't my problems. And it was just like, I had never had a $20,000 problem before, like having to pay my people and people owed me. And I went to a show, a music show, like last night there, that trying to get some kind of answer, and people were not being kind, and kind of like, I tried having some conversations and no one was like engaging with me. And I just remember I was like, fuck it. Like, I am just going to enjoy this music and party my ass off, like dancing. Basically, it was like a metal show, like just where chaos, exactly, is like controlled chaos. And I'd been there for business, like, but I just needed something for me, you know. And I went to the show, no one's liking me. I'm like, I don't care what any of these people think, you know. They are not gonna have to go home to my family or go home and sleep. I don't care what any of these people think. I don't care if I have to go back and do the ads myself because this guy quit, or go back and start grinding again because, you know, people are seeing me as having this posture, this like, you know, oh my God, you're building a business. You've hired these people. Like, you've got your friends in the business. You're doing so great. And I was proud of that because I was always nothing. And so, you know, to have to swallow your pride maybe and because of this cash flow thing and figure out, ask somebody for help or figure something out, or it was pride, you know, not the worst pride, but pride. And I just remember having this moment where like, it was like I'm not going to just sit here and be a victim and complain. I'm going to do whatever it takes to get it done. And that's exactly what I did. And there was these, like, that wasn't the first low, the second low, the third low, but that was a big one where I just remember being like, I'm not going to quit. Quitting is not an option. And I don't care what anyone thinks. I don't care what anyone thinks. And that's why I share my story. If you go to my website, mynology.com, you can go to Andrew's story and read about it. And it's cliff notes, but it's like, I put it out there because I'm like, look, if I put all of my shit out here, it's almost like Eminem in 8 Mile. If you've seen that, he has a rap battle and he's like, look, if I say all this shit about me, you can't say anything about me yet because it's all out. What are you going to say? You know? And that's kind of for me, instead of trying to appear as like this guy that's made it or like comes from this or like blah, blah, blah. It's like, nah, I'm just Andrew. And here's my crazy story. And watch me work. I'm going to show you, like, just watch my story, watch me work. I'm going to do it. So I got to round this out here just because we're past the hour. But this has been absolutely amazing. And I will, if you'll send me the link, I will include that link in our show notes, Your Friend's Podcast in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. So anyone listening can tune in and find that story.
It's super inspirational.
I'm honestly going to listen to it tonight, probably, while I'm at the gym or doing something like that and get a listen. But just as we wrap up, you know, this has honestly been a great story, at least for me, just for even remembering my own. Thank you for being on the show. Obviously you own an agency that helps brands in e-commerce. The point of the story is to be able to promote your business, GSM Growth. And, you know, I know there's probably a lot more we could cover about what all that does. And, but if people are looking for help in D2C, where can people find you? Where can people get in contact with you and learn more about what you have to offer?
Yeah, sure. First of all, I would like to tell, really, it was amazing to hear your part of the story, because I'm like shocked how similar cases could be, similar lifestyle stories could be on the back end of the self-made people, and how one secret sauce, if people want to hear, one secret sauce here, it's never quit. Never quit no matter what. So that's why this is really amazing. And just guys, highlight that this is the thing which you have to take off from this podcast as a really golden knowledge. I know people are speaking about that, but try to exactly doing that, not just speaking or listening about it. So regarding me, if you want to find out me online, ecom by Anatoly, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube channel, Anatoly Labinsky. I'm sharing a lot of free stuff there about e-commerce, about the mindset, about motivation, about my story and backend. Plus, in my ecom by Anatoly Instagram, you can find out the link where we have free ebook, where you can get the understanding of the best structure of the ad copies, which you can use on your end, implement it, and that will help you out increase your CTR, increase your conversions for the clicking on the website. So yeah, like whatever you need, just DM me there in Instagram. Like I'm always replying, and if you have some particular case, I'm able to help you out and see if that is something suitable for both of us to work together, or at least I will help you out with a piece of advice. Really appreciate it, Andrew, for this amazing podcast, and hopefully that people will be inspired from both stories, because that's something close to everyone.
Thank you, Anatoly. And thank you to our listeners for tuning in. And thanks again to our sponsor, Fullscale.io. Last time, do you need to hire software engineers, testers, or leaders? Let Fullscale help. They have the people and the platform to help you build and manage a team of experts. When you visit Fullscale.io, all you need to do is answer a few questions, then let the platform match you up with fully vetted, highly experienced team of software engineers, testers, and leaders. At Fullscale, they specialize in building long-term teams that work only for you. Learn more when you visit fullscale.io. Anatoly, great episode number one for us. I think we're going to have a few more, in our time. And I look forward to getting you back on the show. We'll see you next time.
I appreciate it, man. Thank you so much for having me here.
Startup Hustle is brought to you by Fullscale.io, helping you build a software team quickly and affordably. Make sure you reach down and hit that subscribe button, then come find us on Instagram. See you next time.